Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Ayin Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We will begin today's Shiur at the very bottom line of Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Before we begin the shiur, let us take note of some of the structural features. You will immediately notice at the bottom line of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis a triangle around Ula, and that's followed by a bow tie around the expression Laman D'Omar. We glance at the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivneh heading, and you can see that we've noted the triangle are Deos, these are opinions, Be'inyan Chiluk Korbonus Be'oshom Vadai. The bow tie will be highlighting the expression Laman D'Omar. Now, what do we mean by Chiluk Chatos? So, this is a Chiluk Korbonus. We've been dealing with the concept of Chiluk Korbonus already in our last couple of Sugis, where a person committed multiple offenses in one state of lack of awareness, would there be the need for bringing multiple korbanos? Our discussions in the past have been focused on the sin offering, the korban chatas. Today, we will be turning our attention to a korban osham, and specifically, a korban osham that is brought as a result of a sin, as opposed to a korban osham that's brought as a result of tumah. Rashi mentions there are korban oshams brought for me'ilah violation and for something called osham gezelos, which has to do with swearing falsely in the case of owed money, and shipcha charufa. This is a case of a Jewish man having intimacy with a shivcha harufa. It's a type of bondmaid situation. We won't have to get into the details because there are numerous opinions as to what exactly a shivcha harufa is. But let us just say that it is a type of immorality, a type of intimacy that one has with a woman who is in the general realm of a bondmaid that results, if done willingly, in addition to lashing, there is also a korban. It's a very unusual situation where you have something done benazit, something done deliberately, and yet a korban would be generated. We will see much more on the topic of this issue by learning the Rashis. We have to point out that in contrast with the Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiur, which generally incorporates the Rashi explanation without actually learning the Rashi text inside the text as we continue our Shurim, in today's Gemara, because of the myriad of details and relative lack of familiarity that many of us may have with this topic, it will be necessary for us to learn the Rashi text on most of the Gemara inside. So, we'll read a line of Gemara and then turn our attention to Rashi, who will help set up the rest of the sugya ahead of time. So, the Gemara. Omar Ula, Leman de Omar, Osham Vadai, Lo Baya, Yediyah Betchila. According to this particular opinion, that an Osham Vadai, it's a korban osham, as opposed to there's another type of korban called an osham tolui. That is a korban that is brought when a person is in doubt as to whether he violated a sin that would require, if you know that you violated it, it would require a sin offering, a korban chatas. So when in doubt, you would bring an osham tolui. So in contrast with the term osham tolui, the Gemara uses the term osham vadai. Just before we go into any further detail, we indicated the triangle around Ulav. There is a corresponding triangle around Rav Dimi on Ayin Beis Omid Aleph, followed by a bow tie where he says Leman de Omar Osham Vadai Bayo Yediyah B'Tchila. Notice here, with regard to Ulav, he is a comment on the opinion that says Osham Vadai Lo Bayo Yediyah. There's no machlokis between Ula and Rav Dimi. They, each one of them, are presenting an analysis according to a different Tanaic authority. Another issue, just to go over something we mentioned very quickly before, is that there is an Osham Mi'ila as well. This is a sacrifice that's brought in the event that someone violated benefiting from that which was sanctified for his own purposes. Again, he benefited for his own purposes from something that was sanctified. Let us say that a person has a doubt as to whether he violated or benefited from something that was holy. There is a machlokis as to whether something that is chayev in an osham vadai, like the case of the mi'ilah, would he bring an osham tolui, which is a korban brought when you are in doubt? We know that for an offense that would necessitate a chatos, a sin offering, that when in doubt, one brings an osham tolui. What about when one is in doubt as to whether or not he violated mi'ilah? Now, the Rashi. We're looking at Rashi toward the second half of the wide lines. The Rashi says, the Dibur Masl, Laman Domar Osham Vadai Lo Bayo Yediya. So the background is as follows. Plukta de Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, he becreases. There is a machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon in Maseches, Krisus, Beperek Dam Shrita, in that particular Perek. We've highlighted in the Rashi Rabbi Akiva's name and Rabbi Tarfon a few lines later with a double underline. Rabbi Akiva Mechayev al Sofek Mi'ilos Osham Tolui. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that when one is in doubt regarding a Mi'ila violation, Mi'ila was benefiting for personal purposes from that which was sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. So if someone is in doubt about Mi'ila, he would bring an Osham Tolui. Upirush Hoyu Lefonov Shte Chatichos. A person had in front of him two pieces, echad shel kodesh ve'echad shel chulin. One was holy meat, and the other was non-holy meat. V'ochal achas mehen ve'en yodeh izo ochal. And he ate one of them and doesn't know which one he ate. Mevi osham tolui. He will have to bring an osham tolui. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Umoide Rabbi Akiva, she'eno mevi es mi'iloso. Rabbi Akiva will concede that he doesn't bring along with the sacrifice a payment. Klomar, eno mishalim keren v'choymish. He would not have to pay at the time he's bringing his osham tolui the payment for the meat that might have been kodesh. The keren is the principal, chomish an additional fifth. Ad she ivoda lo, until it becomes known to him that he actually did eat something that was holy, v'yavi imo osham mi'ilos vadai. And then he will bring his real osham mi'ila, the official sacrifice. Ki hechi doshem tolui d'shar averis d'sofik korei seinu mechaper kapora gemura. Just like the osham tolui does not afford a complete atonement in other, with regard to other sins. The other sins is a reference to other sins that generate a sin offering. So einu mechaper kapora gemura. it, as we just said, just like the Ashram Tov with other Averis, doesn't Mechaper Kapar Gemura, Ukshivadalo, Devadai Chotem Mevi Chatas, and when it becomes known to him that he definitely sinned, he brings a sin offering. Avzeh, so too with the Mi'ilah Ashram, Kishivadalo, when it becomes known to him, Yavzer V'yovi Ashram Vadai. So, the relationship between the Ashram Tolui and the Chatas is the same relationship between the Ashram Tolui and the Ashram Vadai. That is Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Ma Lozeh Mevi Shtei Ashamos. Rabbi Tarfon says, why in the world would a person end up bringing two Ashams? Two Ashams. Okay, now when we say two Ashams, we're referring to the Asham Tolui and a subsequent Asham Mi'ila. Velo Domi La Asham Tolui De Sofei Chatos. Rabbi Tarfon says, this case of the two Ashams is not like the case of the Asham slash Chatos. The Hasam Sveikoil Vada equals Nekeva. There, the Asham Tolui, Sveiko is a reference to the Asham Tolui. It's a different type of animal. It's an ayil. It's a ram that's brought. And the vadai is the chatos. That's brought when you know you committed the sin, when it becomes clear that a sin was committed. It's a nekeva. That's a reference to a goat or a sheep, a female offering. Ilkach, ki misyad leboy sli nekeva. Therefore, when it becomes known to him that he sinned, the fact that he brought a ram already doesn't exempt him from bringing the female goat or sheep. Avolzeh, in the case of the Mi'ila, Shishnea min Echad, where the Asham Tolui is a ram, and the Ashvade is a ram, Kida Omar Hosam, as it says there, with regard to the Mi'ila, it says in, with regard to the Korban Mi'ila, Shemi min Shemevi al Hoida, from the variety, the type of animal that he brings on, the knowledge of having sinned, maybe aloy hoida, he'll bring as the Asham Tolui, Shizei Ayel Vizei Ayel. They're both rams. Therefore, what does Rabbi Tarfon say in a case of a person who is in doubt about having committed a Mi'ilah violation? Yavi Karen V'choymish Yavi Ayel. He shall bring the money, that means the principal and a fifth, and bring a ram, the Yomar, and make the following declaration. Im Vadai Mo'alti, if I definitely committed the Mi'ilah violation, benefiting from the sanctified item, Zu Mi'ilah Si V'zu Ashami. Then this is my Korban, and this is my payment. Vim Safek, and if there is a doubt, Shelo Osid Sveikid Vodatli, that the Safek will not become clear in the future, I will, if I am going to remain in this state of doubt, then Osham Zeh, Ye Osham Tolui, then let this animal be the Osham Tolui, the Hektish Zeh Lendovan, the money that I'm bringing is a gift. I'm dedicating the money to the Beis HaMikdash. Ulachim is Yodalei, and in the event or when it does become clear that this person sinned, Lo Boy Yisui Asham Achrina, he doesn't have to bring another Asham because he already stipulated that in the initial bringing. Alma Lo Boy Yedia B'Tchila B'Asham V'Alai Koidim Havoas Koporoso. What do we see? We are extracting a principle from this. According to Rabbi Tarfon, you don't need to have an initial state of knowledge before bringing the atonement. The halo is yadalei ki asya. He doesn't know at the point that he's actually that he's bringing the sacrifice. He doesn't know that he sinned umechaper alei, and yet it does work. So, all said and done, the Gemara, the bottom line of the Gemara text, when Ula made reference to the man to Omar, that will now be clear to us, that's Rebbe Tarfon, that Osham Vadai, Lo Baya Yediyah B'Tchila, that an Osham Vadai, as we just learned in the case of the Osham Ilos, does not require an initial awareness of having committed the sin in order to be effective. With that in mind, now let us take a look at a case. But we have to just repeat the principle, and that is, knowledge, in this context, we're talking about this model, according to Rabbi Tarfon and the Ashram Vadai, knowledge is not a central aspect of the atonement. Why is it important for us to emphasize the principle? Because we're going to now go to a case that is a osham related case, but it's a different offense and very different circumstances. Just, it's important for us to bear the principle in mind. According to that opinion, namely the Rabbi Tarfon opinion, we continue at the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Bo'al chomesh be'ilos b'shivcha charufa. A person engaged in five acts of intercourse, not realizing that it is an offense. He thinks it's okay, and he becomes aware that he had relations with a shivcha charufa between each event, between each act. So he had these five acts of intimacy with the shivcha charufa and became aware. There was knowledge between each one that what he did, that he had acts with a, he had intimacy with a shivcha charufa, with this type of bond made. Eino chayov elo achas. He'll need to bring only one korban osham, the osham shivcha charufa. This is in stark contrast to a parallel case by a korban chatos, where let us say a person cooked some food on Shabbos, b'shogeg, and then he became aware that it was Shabbos, and then, or that he became aware that what he did was wrong, and then he again cooked up another piece, another quantity of food, forgetting that it was Shabbos, and then became aware, and then that it was Shabbos, and then he cooked up a third time. Each time will generate the need for another korban chatos. That's yedios mechalkos. The knowledge between each act creates the necessity of bringing a separate sacrifice. Not so in this case, where knowledge, as we just proved according to Rebbe Tarfon, knowledge is not an essential factor, as we saw that one could gain his atonement for the Mi'ila violation even before he became aware of actually having committed the sin in his mere stipulation, and then subsequent awareness, retroactively he gains his atonement, so that the initial knowledge was not essential. So knowledge is not essential in this context. And so too, we're applying that to the case of the five acts of intercourse with the shivcha charufa. One sacrifice, therefore, will be enough. Let us now take a look at the Rashi. As we said, we need to learn the Rashi on these sukkahs because there's a lot of background that he provides. Rashi at the top, Bo'al chamesh b'ilos b'shivcha charufa b'shogeg. When he had the act itself, as he was doing the act, he wasn't aware that there was a problem. The noda lo bein kol achas v'achas. And he, between each act, he became aware that what he did was wrong. But then when he went on to the next act, he didn't realize he was doing anything wrong. Eino chayov elo achas. He is chayov only one sacrifice. L'hochi noka shivcha harufa. The reason that we are choosing this example, mishum demevi korban echor alaveiros harbei, because it's an example of one sacrifice sufficient for many offenses. Kedistan b'krisus, chamisha mevi'in korban echad al averus harbe. There are five examples of people that bring one korban for many violations. Habo al shivcha bios harbe v'chule. And that is the example. One who has relations with a shivcha on numerous times. V'chitnan masnisin deniftar b'korban echad. When is it? When is that? That one sacrifice is enough. Hani mili b'mezid. That is when he does these acts with knowledge. Shehu min amaviyam ala mezid kishogeg. This is one of the very rare cases in the realm of sacrifices that a person brings a sacrifice, even though an act was done with the knowledge of it being an offense. That's called mezid, knowledge of it being wrong.
And how do we know that? Dechtiv bikores tiyeh. This pasuk is a reference to lashings. Umalkos b'shogig lekah. We know that a person who did something mistakenly, with unwittingly, is not subject to being lashed. There's no malkus in the realm of shogig. V'gabi mezid rovikra, and in the realm of mezid, deliberateness, the rovikra, the pasuk includes the niftar b'korban echad al bi'os harve, that one sacrifice will suffice for many offenses of this forbidden intimacy. And all the more so with multiple acts of intimacy done by in a state of shogeg, in one state of lack of awareness. Because why does Rashi say for kol shekein? Because that's standard procedure when numerous offenses are done in one state of lack of awareness where there's no discovery between each offense. One sacrifice suffices. That's true even with regard to a korban chatos. Avol, now, our case here is unique. Avol shogeg v'noda lo bein bi'o l'bi'o. So on the one hand, it's shogeg. It's not mazed, so it's not so exceptional. On the other hand, it is no dalo. He becomes aware between each act. Leman deboy yidio b'tchilo b'osham vaday. Now, who is that? We saw that to be Rabbi Akiva, the one who requires knowledge at the beforehand, pre-knowledge, prior knowledge, before being able to bring the osham vaday, the standard korban osham. Choshiv hu lechalik lashomos ke havoas kapora mechalekes lo'isim ezid. Knowledge is of significance to create division and separateness, namely a separate korban for each act, because there was knowledge gained between each act, like would be the case if, let us say, a person committed the offense deliberately and then brought his atonement and then afterwards committed the offense again. It's clear that the havas kapara, the bringing of the sacrifice for the prior offense, creates this separateness, this division, and the sacrifice that he already brought is certainly not going to atone for an act done afterwards. So too, the case of the yediya in the shogeg situation will also create division. And that is only according to Rabbi Akiva, where knowledge is a significant factor. Rashi goes on, V'tzorch lehovi al kol achas v'achas. And he'll have to bring a separate sacrifice for each one. Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan Domer Liel, and this is according to Rabbi Yochanan that we saw in our previous shiur on Daf Ayin Aleph. Be'oichel shnei zeis chelev behelam echad, a person who had eaten two olive quantities of chelev in one state of lack of awareness, v'noda lo b'shtei yedios, and became aware of them separately, became aware of each olive quantity separately. Namely, he became aware that he ate one olive quantity, and then afterwards became aware that he had eaten a second olive quantity of chelev. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. He has to bring an osh, a chatos, on each one. The chashiva lechiluk yediyo kilu evi korban bein yediyo leyediyo. The separateness in discovery is tantamount to the having brought a sacrifice for one Kezias, and only after bringing the sacrifice does he discover the second olive quantity. Hochanami choshev chiluk yediyah. Hochanami, in the case of the beilos with the shivcha harufa, where he discovers between each one that he had done something wrong. Ki'ilu hevi korban bein bi'olabios, as if he brought a sacrifice between each act, which everyone agrees, the bringing of the sacrifice creates a separateness between each act, generating a separate korban for each act. Mashmin and ula. Now, Rashi ties this into our Gemara at hand. Ula, who appeared at the bottom line of the Omid, previous Omid, Ula tells us, Laman Delobo Yediya Ba'osham Bitchila, namely Rebbe Tarfon, who does not require knowledge before the bringing of an Osham Vadai, Eino Chashuva Lechalik Beintayim. Knowledge between each act with the of intimacy with the Shifcha Charufa is not of significance to create distinctions or separateness between korbanos. The Eino Chayov Elo Achas, and therefore one sacrifice will be enough. The Kevin de lo Chashiva la Yediya, since pre-knowledge or knowledge of offense is not significant within this realm, according to Rebbe Tarfon, Ula is telling us lo michalekes. So even though there was knowledge between knowledge of offense between each act of intimacy, it doesn't create a need for multiple sacrifices. V'ho milsa de Ula nokat lohocha mishum de Ravdimi dairi Allah. The Ula is brought in over here because Ravdimi will speak about this. Uparchinan Allah mi plukta de Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Reish Lakish. And we will introduce later on the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whom we have been involved with since Daf Ayin Aleph. So that even though we were talking about a Korban Chatos up till now, and now Ula brings in a discussion that's seemingly unrelated, it's different, a different realm of offense, we're dealing with Korban, the Korban Osham, nevertheless, it's brought in because of the fact that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, who were part of our discussion till now, are going to be brought in as part of the analysis. Let us continue in the Gemara. Having said that we're working within Rebbe Tarfon, that knowledge is not a distinguishing or dividing factor. Dividing, when we use these terms, distinguishing or dividing, we're referring to the need to bring multiple chatos. We're trying to translate the term mechalekes, or yedias mechalkos, creating need for multiple sacrifices. Well, according to the Rebbe Tarfon approach, we saw that knowledge is not a factor, and hence, even though there is knowledge between each act, that does not generate the need for multiple sacrifices. The Gemara continues, second line from the top. Maskif lo Rav Hamnuna. Rav Huna challenges this and says, Elo me'ata, well, using your analogy or your analysis, Bo'al vifrish karbon. Imagine someone who had the intimacy with the Shifcha Charufa and he set aside a sacrifice. In other words, he did the act of intimacy. And then he set aside a sacrifice for having committed that. V'yomar, and then he says, Hamtinu li ad she'ev oil. You know, wait for me until I do it again. Ochinami de'enu chayev elo achas. Are you going to suggest that the one sacrifice will cover all of these offenses? Omar lei, so Ula responds. He says, you are going to the extreme. You are arguing against me from an extreme case. And he says, Maisa delachar hafrosho kamris. Are you talking about, Maisa is an action. In this case, it's the offense. It's the intimacy with the Shifcha Charufa. After he sets aside, he actually dedicates, sets aside a sacrifice for the previous action. Is that what you're trying to argue against me? Who only spoke about mere yedios between each act? I'm not talking about an actual act of intimacy after setting aside a sacrifice. I never spoke about that. I wouldn't go that far. Obviously, in that case, I would say that even Rebbe Tarfon will say a separate sacrifice, an additional sacrifice, will be necessary. All I ever said was that the mere discovery of the offense before the commission of the next one does not generate the need for additional sacrifices. But discovery of the offense or knowledge of the offense and then going ahead and setting aside a sacrifice and continuing after that to commit the offense, don't expect the sacrifice that was already set aside to atone for a subsequent offense. No one would say that. No one would agree with that. Ki osa Rav Dini Omar? Laman di Omar Osham Vaday Baya Yudir B'tchila. Now we know who we're talking about, because we already learned this in the Rashi. According to Rabbi Akiva, who says that for an Osham Vaday to be effective, one would have to know about the offense beforehand. Rabbi Akiva, if you will recall, said that after bringing the Osham Tolui, when you discover that you committed the offense, then you'll have to bring the Osham Vaday. And the unlike Rabbi Tarfon, making a condition at the time you're bringing the Osham Tolui is not effective. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that Osham Vaday requires Yediyah. In other words, Yediyah, knowledge of offense, is a significant factor, according to Rabbi Akiva. Bo al chomesh beilos b'shifo charufo chayov al kol achas v'achas. A person who had five acts of intimacy with the shifra charufa and discovered between each act that he had committed an offense. So there you have it. You've got discovery. You've got yediyah between each one. So that will generate, because yediyah is significant, division factor, a dividing factor, namely requirement of separate sacrifice for each act. Question. Omar le Abaye. Abaye challenges Rav Dimi's presentation and says, Hare Chatos. Let's take a look at the example of a Korban Chatos, which was our previous Sugyan Daf Ayin Aleph. And we know about a chatos, everyone knows this. Deboinon yedia b'tchila. Everyone holds that before you bring a korban chatos, you have to know that an offense was committed. Of course, it's at the time the offense was done, in the case of a korban chatos, it was done unwittingly. It was done b'shogeg. But before the chatos can be brought, you need to know the offense was done. Uplegi Rabbi Yochanan for Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, and we find these authorities arguing. Namely, we found that Reish Lakish said that multiple separate discoveries do not generate the need for multiple sacrifices. This was on. This was part of our discussion on Daf Ayin Aleph Omer Aleph. If you recall, there we had a case of someone who had eaten two kizesim of chilev behelam echad. He ate the two aleph quantities in one state of lack of knowledge, but then he discovered he had eaten one of the kizesim, and after discovering that, he later discovered that he ate the second aleph quantity. And yet Reish Lakish was willing to say that one sacrifice is enough. So that here at one sacrifice, what sacrifice? One korban chatas. So we have an opinion that even in the realm where yediyah is important, the yediyah, the separate yediyahs, do not generate multiple sacrifices. Ishtik. So Rav Dimi, upon hearing Abaye's challenge, Rav Dimi remains silent. Omar lei, Abaye responds, Dilma b'maisa d'la'achar hafrosha ko'amris u'chederav hamnuna. Maybe what you were saying, namely your remarks about Osham, that according to Madomar, Osham Vali needs Yediyah B'tchila, in the case of Bo Chamesh Bilos B'Shif Harufa, he's required to bring a separate korban for each act. You know what you were talking about? You were talking about the case where he had Bi'ila, he had intimacy with the Shifcha on an occasion, and after that he set aside a sacrifice, and after he set aside a sacrifice for that in that first act, he went ahead and did the act again. That's called Maisa D'le'achar Frosha. acharaf rosha, after setting aside the sacrifice, he then had another act, like Rav Hamnuna mentioned on the second line from the top. And that, of course, will generate the need for a separate sacrifice, an additional sacrifice. Omale, Surav Dimi says back to Abai, in, yes, that is what I was referring to. And that is a case that is quite acceptable, quite understandable. No one would argue with that. Ki also Ravin, we have a triangle around Ravin because he too relates to this topic of Osham, multiple Osham Vadais. You'll see he opens up with two lines of, we'll say, cryptic remarks, and we've numbered 3 points that he makes, and then the Gemara will explain each one more elaborately. Ki also Ravin, Omar. When Ravin came, he said, Hakol Moidim, and the term modim is has to do with agreement. We're referring to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So hakol moidim b'shifcha charufa, hakol moidim b'shifcha charufa, and umachloikis b'shifcha charufa. 3 points. As we said, it sounds a bit cryptic, and now the Gemara explains. Hakol moidim b'shifcha charufa. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will agree. Di'eno chayov elo achas kideula. In, this is also a little bit brief, but it basically is a recap of what we said above. Ula quoted Rabbi Tarfon, the man de Omar that doesn't require Yediyah B'tchila. Even Rabbi Yochanan, who, if you recall, was in the Chatas Sugya, was into the idea of multiple sacrifices, without recapping that entire sugya, but even Rabbi Yochanan was into this idea of multiple sacrifices there by the Korban Chatos, he will concede that according to the Tano, Rabbi Tarfon, who doesn't place a premium on pre-knowledge, on Yediyah, so Yediyah is not going to Mechalek, in the case of the Chamesh Pe'ilos of the Shecharufa, where he discovered between each one that he committed an offense. So there's no argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding that which Ula had presented. Continuing, the hakol moidim b'shifcha charufa the chayov al kol achas v'achas ki Rav Hamnuna, namely, even Reish Lakish, who in the chatos sugyan daf ayin aleph was into the idea of one korban covering multiple yediyos, he will concede that in this case one korban will not suffice, like as per the case of Rav Hamnuna, namely Maisa Delacha Frosha. If a person had committed the prohibition of intimacy with the Shifcha Charufa, and then he set aside a sacrifice to atone for that, and then after that did another act, he'll have to bring an additional sacrifice. Even Reish Lakish will agree. That's Hakol Modim. Number 3, umachloikes b'shifcha charufa. The controversy between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will surface as a controversy. Leman di Omar osham vaday bayo yediyah b'tchila, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that that you can't bring an osham vaday unless you have pre-knowledge. So according to Rabbi Akiva, what would the case be of the Boal Chomesh Be'ilos without having a sacrifice separated between each act? So according to this Mandomar, Machloikes Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Let's glance at the Rashi. Several lines from the bottom. Umachloikis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish b'shifcha charufa, v'aliba demanda chashiva le'yediyah d'osham. That is, one word is Rabbi Akiva. According, he's the opinion that does place an emphasis on yediyah in the context of the osham. Le'Rabbi Yochanan d'omar yediyas chatos Hoyo v'chashivu hi mechalekes. Afilu chatos tehelem echod.
According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the yediya, in the case of chatos, separate discoveries of offense, create the need for separate sin offerings, even in the event when the original offense was done, behelam echad, was done in one state of lack of awareness, which generally speaking enables you to combine offenses onto one sacrifice. But since the discovery of the multiple offenses was made separately, hachanami mechalekes bein dehelam echad bein d'shtei ha'alomas.
So too, in the case of, let's go to back to our case of the Shifcha Harufa, if he had relations, then discovered that he did something wrong, and then continued another relationship, and again discovered, and as we said at the top line, he was Boyal Chamesh Bilos, and discovered between each act, that will generate the need for a separate Korban Hashem. Ula Rei Shlokish Damar Yediya Dechatos Af Al Gav Dechashiva Lo Mechalekes.
And according to Rei Shlokish, who says that knowledge in the realm of Chatos, even though it is significant, what do we mean it's significant? It means that you can't fulfill a Chatos requirement unless you know beforehand that you committed the sin. However, the multiple discovery of the offense, of the multiple offenses, that means separate discoveries of each offense, does not create the need for separate sacrifices. That's lo mechalekes averos dehelam echad. The separate discoveries of multiple offenses that were originally committed in one state of lack of awareness, they are not mechalek hocha. Here, in the case of the shivcha rufa filu tishtei halomos lo mechalekes ugedapricious. Even if he had, let's say, multiple intimacies with knowledge between each one, that's shtei halamos. He didn't know and had the intimacy. That's a case of halam. He didn't know, had the intimacy, then discovered, again had intimacy, forgetting that she was a shivcha harufa, and then again discovered. That's shtei halamos. It still doesn't create a chiluk, a distinction or a need for multiple sacrifices, as we explained. So Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will be arguing their argument within Rabbi Akiva's opinion regarding the Osham. The Gemara continues. Itmar. We now turn to the top of Amud Beis. Niskavein lahagbias etolosh v'chotach es hamechubor. Potter. If a person had intention to lift up something from the ground, we're talking here about plants or specifically vegetation. Let us take we'll keep a simple example as we go on in this Gemara. He intended to pick up a tomato, and he thought that the tomato was a detached tomato, a loose tomato from the ground. And he picks it up, and lo and behold, it turns out to have been attached and it snaps off the plant. That's v'chotach es hamechubar. Potter. He is exempt. This is called misasek. This is an example of something that is less problematic, less severe than the case of shogeg. Rashi points out what is shogeg. When we say something is done unintentionally or unwittingly, what do we mean by that? So that is a case where a person intended to do the act with its outcome. He intended for that outcome. He simply was unaware that it was Shabbos, or he was unaware that the act that he intended and had that very outcome, he was unaware that it was a forbidden act. This case is a situation where the outcome doesn't even match his intention, where his intention was for something permissible, and the outcome turns out to be something forbidden, that does not generate the need for a korban, for a korban chatos. This is known by the term, and it's a very well-known term in halacha, it's called misasek. Misasek literally means involvement, and it's a shorthand for the idea of involvement with something that is allowed, with a result of something that is forbidden.
Now, we have a topic heading and structural note introducing this sukya. And the real motivation for the numbering that we have here, starting with Roman numeral number 1, Roman numerals 2 and 3 will appear on Daf Ayin Gimel Omed Aleph. At that point, the Gemara will mention why do I need all three examples. So when the Gemara there makes reference to the three examples, the Gemara there on Ayin Gimel Amet Aleph is referring to our Roman numerals 1, 2, and 3. So that's why we've placed these numbers. We're going to give an umbrella title or umbrella theme to these three cases, and we've entitled it on the side, as we say under our Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei is the topic, Mivneh is the structural note. We featured Roman numerals 1 through 3, Dugmois, examples shel misasek, also beheter venimsa iser. He is involved with something that he thinks is allowed, and it turns out to have actually been something in violation. The first case that we had is not something that is controversial. It's an accepted point. And that was the Aleph that we have at the top line. Now, the Beis will be the first case where you will find a Machlokas Rav and Abaye who are featured in the houses. That's why our Roman numeral is placed opposite the second line, because the Beis case, this Lachtech HaSatol Shvatos Mechubar, is the first of the three models or scenarios where Rabbi Rava and Abaye will have their Machloikis. So we've explained then the house markings are found in this sugya to highlight Rava and Abaye. You'll find it beneficial as you were to continue to Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. If you have that available, you'll notice Abaye and Rava are marked accordingly. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice a double underline, which highlights, again, Rav and Abaye, the double underline with the dots in it. These are used to highlight where Rav and Abaye explain their positions in this opening case. We now proceed with the second case, the Beis case on the second line from the top, Lachtoich es hatolush v'chotach es hamechubar. A person intended to cut a tomato that he thought was detached, and he ended up cutting something that was attached. Before we go further in the Gemara, maybe it was my oversight, we should have read the Rashi at the top of the page. Niskavi lahagbias atolush, kagoin denofal sakin barugas hayerek, niskavin lahagbio. Rashi's case is slightly different than the case that we used in our introduction, or even in our explanation, and that is a knife had fallen amongst a row of vegetables. He bent over to pick up the knife. That was to pick up that which was tolush. And as he's picking up the knife, it ended up cutting something. Rashi goes on, v'chotach es hamechubar, and it ended up cutting something. He had no intention for that. His intention was focused on picking up a knife. There's no prohibition of picking up a knife on Shabbos, but as he was picking up, it went and cut something that was attached. And he is exempt. Tichtiv asher chotobo v'darshina b'krisus and maseches krisus. This pasuk is explained prat lemisasek b'davar acher v'also davar zeh, to the exclusion of someone who is involved with something else. In other words, he's concentrating on one thing and he ended up doing something else. Let's go back to our Gemara, and that is where he has an intention to cut something that is detached. That would be like our case that he thought there was a tomato that was detached and he wanted to cut it, and it ended up that he cut an attached tomato. Rav Amar Potter, Abaye Omar Chayav. Rovo says there is exemption, and Abaye says he will be obligated to bring a sin offering. Rovo Amar Potter, Deha Lo Niskavin L'Chaticho Disura. Rovo says he's exempt because, as far as the action is concerned, it's true, it's and the same action that he intended was done, the action of cutting. But he intended for a permissible cutting, and that which resulted was a forbidden cutting. Cutting that which was attached. So since he had no intention for a cutting of Isur, he's exempt. Abaye Omar Chayav. Abaye says he is within the realm of sin offering obligation. He's Chayav. He's obligated to bring the sacrifice. He doesn't look into the fine resolution of things, but rather he looks at the general. The general was the action of cutting is what he intended, and an action of cutting is what resulted. So since the outcome matches that which he intended without the fine resolution, he therefore is chayav. Omar Rava, Mino Aminola. Rava presents to us his source. From where do I know my opinion? Tanya, but now we have a special structural phenomenon, an answer. But this answer is a very long answer. Notice the tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and it continues down, 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 all the way till the top of Ayin Gimel Omid Aleph. You'll notice this answer, this response of Rava, or his answer, goes to the fifth line from the top. So before we can appreciate what Rava's source is, we have to go through a large amount of Gemara material. So Rava says, from where do I know that Niskavein, where there is exemption based on the fine resolution by focusing in on the detail, namely the mere in matching of intent with outcome vis-a-vis the action, that's not enough to create korban obligation. It would have to be the nature of the action that you that was intended was a forbidden action. The nature of the action, not just the actual maisa itself. So we have a Tanaic source. Now this Tanaic source is presented in its entirety, and it's not really clear. And after we finish the Tanaic source, the Gemara will present, as we have with our markings in diamonds, quotes of the source whereby the Gemara will explain the Resha, the first part of the source, and then the Seifa. So if you feel that things are vague at the outset, that is quite understandable. So the source, the Sanya, Chomer b'Shabbos mi'Shara mitzvos. There is a stringency aspect to Shabbos above other mitzvos. V'Chomer b'Shara mitzvos mi'B'Shabbos, and other mitzvos have a stringency over Shabbos. Chomer Shabbos mi'Shara mitzvos. SheHaShabbos also shtayim be'olam echad chayav al kol achas v'achas. In the case of Shabbos, if one did two forbidden actions in of the same nature in one state of lack of awareness. So that's also shtayim behelam echad. Let us retract what we said, just correct ourselves. He did two actions. We're not saying what the nature of the actions, whether they're the same or they're different, but he did two actions in one helam, in one state of lack of awareness. He's chayav al kol achas ve'achas. He's chayav for each action separately. Masha en kein b'shar mitzvos, as opposed to other mitzvos. The Chomer b'shar mitzvos mi'Shabbos, a stringency applying to other mitzvos which you don't find in Shabbos. B'shar mitzvos shogag b'lo miskavin chayov. Mashen kein b'Shabbos shogag. He did something unintentionally without focusing or without intending it. He is obligated, and which is not the case by Shabbos. Now, as we said, that was not 100% clear, and now the Gemara goes over it. Omar Mar. So we have a The diamond highlights the quotes from the source, therefore, and that's mentioned on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivne heading. The diamond is featured, and we've written there Tzitutim Mehamakor of Chomer, Shabbos, etc. These are Tzitutim from that source, Shehevi Rava Kibosis L'Shitaso. This is the source that Rava brought as the basis for his opinion. So we first read a quote from the source. Omar Choymer Shabbos Shar Mitzvos Shal Shabbos Also Shteim Belamechod Chayav Al Kol Achas VeAchas Ma Shein Kain B'Shar Mitzvos. Shabbos has this stringency whereby if you do two in one state of lack of awareness, you're chayav for each one a separate sacrifice, which is not the case by other mitzvos. Heichi Domi. Here we start the analysis. What are we talking about? What is spoken about here? You'll notice the use of a double underline, highlighting the words Elema, a few lines later Elo, and then afterwards Li'olam. On the side, we indicate these are Shlavei Birur, Hezber, Moker, Hanal. These are stages in clarifying the source that we had above. And this same stage approach of analysis we will apply later on to the Seifa. So we ask the question, what is this talking about? Namely, that Shabbos has a stringency over other mitzvahs insofar as if one did two in one state of lack of awareness, it generates the need for a separate sacrifice. The Gemara says, "E lemo de avad ketziro techino." If you're talking about someone who did an act of harvesting and grinding, which are two avos melachos, two forbidden Shabbos activities, the kavasa, the parallel to the gabi shar mitzvahs, with regard to other mitzvahs, ochal chelev v'dam, where he did two separate actions of forbidden eating. Namely, he ate chelev, which is a forbidden section of an animal, and dam, the blood, also forbidden in consumption. Well, if that's the case, there's no distinction between Shabbos and other mitzvos. In the case of Shabbos, for doing ketzira and techina in one state of lack of awareness, he will have to bring two separate sin offerings because they're two separate offenses. So too, in the case of other mitzvos, he will have to bring two separate sin offerings because chelev is a distinct offense from dam. So we don't see a distinction there, Ella. So let's try this out. Shar mitzvahs delo mechayev elo chado hechidomi. The case of other mitzvahs where we say he'll be chayev only one sin offering, what would the case be? Well, the ochal chelev v'chelev. He ate an olive quantity of chelev, and then before becoming aware that he did something wrong, in the same state of lack of awareness, he ate another olive quantity of chelev. Well, what's the parallel to Shabbos? The Kavasa, when we say what's the parallel, because in the source we say there is a distinction between the Shabbos type offense and the other mitzvahs. So we have to create a parallel case and then show how they are different. So the Kavasa, Gabi, Shabbos, the parallel of that, of the Chelev, the Chelev, by Shabbos would be the Ovad Ketzira Ketzira, where he did the same act of harvesting two times. Well, if that be the case, in the case of Shabbos, as well as the case of the Chelev, if he did the two acts, the two quantities, in the same state of lack of awareness, he's chayav only one sacrifice. There's no distinction. So we go back to the first approach. With regard to Shabbos, he did ketzira, and he did an act of harvesting and an act of grinding. Two forbidden avos melachos. Umay masha'en kei mishar mitzvahs. So what's meant in the source when you say as opposed to other mitzvahs? So we're not really talking about the general realm of the other 612 mitzvahs of the Torah, but rather avodah zarah. We're talking about idol worship. Now, the concept of shar mitzvahs means something other than Shabbos, as is the case if we focus on avodah zarah. Something we have Shabbos has one standard and Avodah Zorah a different standard. Uchad Rebbe Ami, according to the teaching of Rabbi Ami, the Yomar of Ami, Zibeach, Vekiter, Nisach, Behaloma, Achas, if a person did all these different acts of Avodah Zorah service, he Zibeach is offered a sacrifice, Kiter is he offered incense, and Nisech, he poured, he did a pouring of wine in honor of the Avodah Zarah. And he did all three acts of Zibeach, Vikiter, and Nisech, Bahalomachs, in one state of lack of awareness, Eino, Chayov, Elo, Achas. Well, that's Rabbi Ami's teaching. At this point, the Gemara doesn't give the sources for his approach, but there are sources for that information. Okay, that having been said, we have so far explained the Reisha, the first section of the source, that doing multiple Shabbos violations of different Avos Melachos in one Helam Echad generates separate sacrifices. Doing multiple acts of idolatry do not generate multiple sacrifices. So the source then is not talking about the general realm of other mitzvahs, it's talking about Avodah Zarah. B'mayu kimto, so how did we set up that source? B'avodah Zarah, Emol Sefa. Let's continue now quoting from the second half. Choyer b'shar mitzvahs, there is a stringency by other mitzvahs. Now other mitzvahs we know is a code for Avodah Zarah at this point, that's what we think. So there is a stringency with regard to Avodah Zarah. So the Shar Mitzvahs, once again, we know is Avodah Zarah at this point. What is the stringency there? Shogag b'miskavein chayiv mashayim b'shabbos. A situation where one does a violation where he's shogag below miskavein, which loosely translated would mean he does something unwittingly in Avodah Zarah, so he is chayiv, which is not the case by Shabbos. What do we mean by that? Hai shogag b'lo miskavein d'avodah zarah heichidomi. What do you mean by that? Even before we attempt to create a parallel between that and Shabbos, we just have to understand what does this phrase mean in the context of avodah zarah. In order to figure that out, we have again a series of double underlines here. We have them with a little design between them, but it's the idea here is to give you the stage feeling, stage of analysis. Stage, it's analysis in stages. And that's what we've indicated on the side of the Gemara. We have a tatnosei, this is a subtopic, because the general topic is the issue of misasek and the machlokis Rava Nabai, and we're focusing on Rava. So within all of this, we have a subtopic, the case of shogag b'lo miskavein b'avodah zarah, heichi dami. That's the case, the issue under question. And under the mivneh heading, you can see we have the double underline, where we've written shlavei birur shelo hanal. These are stages in clarifying the question of heichi dami, what is meant by shogag b'lo miskavein. So let's now turn back to the Gemara. E lema kosavur beis hakneses huvishtachavalah. If we're talking about a case where someone thinks that they're standing in front of a synagogue, and he bows down to it, and a bowing in honor of the Almighty whose presence dwells in the synagogue. And it turns out that it's a house of idolatry. Well, Hare Libo Dal Shamayim, his heart, his intentions are heavenwards. He would not be obligated to bring a sin offering. We couldn't say that that's the case of the source that says Shogag Bo Miskavein is Chayav, the Elah. So what is the case? The Chozi Andarta, Visogit Law, he saw a statue. Andarta is a statue, Rashi says, Suras HaMelech Shesun Lefod HaMelech. It's a statue of the king, which is made in his honor, and he bows to it in honor of the king. So that's the case, in the meantime, of Shogag Bo Miskavein. He sees an Andarta, a statue of the king. Visogit Law, so it means he bowed to it. Hey Chidomi, well, what are the circumstances of Chozi Andarta V'Sogid Law? So here's a subtopic analysis in stages, and that's why we changed the marking to triangles, because on the side of the Gemara, we indicate the triangle, Shlovim Levarer Echidomi Hamikresh Chozi Andarta V'Sogid Law. We want to figure out what is this case. So this is a stage analysis of the second double underline stage of figuring out what is Shogag Blo Miskavein. So what is the case of bowing to the statue that we're trying to say is chayev? If we're talking about someone who accepts the statue as a god form, as an idol, mazidhu, well, then he is doing a deliberate act of idolatry, and that's not called shogag. In our source, we're focusing on the case of shogag below miskaven. But someone like that, who accepts it upon himself as an idol, he's not shogag. And if his act of bowing is simply to honor the king without any idolatrous intentions whatsoever, he's done nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. So there's no havamina that he would bring. There's no grounds for thinking he would bring a sin offering. Rather, we have someone that is bowing to this statue because he has a friend that accepted the statue as an idol. The person we're focusing on, he didn't accept it as an idol. He rather is bowing to it understanding that his friend accepted as an idol, but he's doing so because of love of his friend or fear of his friend. The Rashi explains, Me'ava umira, Me'avas odom umiras odom, either of love of a friend or fear of a friend. Hishtachav el avodizara, he bows to this idol. Vikori le shogeg below miskaven, he is referred to by that term, klomar shogag b'hochi, he made a mistake regarding this, to sover the kevonj the ein miskaven libo lalos muter. He figures that since he didn't accept it as an idol, it's okay. But once again, he is bowing to something that has been accepted by someone else as an idol. So that's what's called Me'avo Mira, according to Rashi. The Gemara continues, Honi Cholabai Domar Chayav. So this explanation of Shogag Bo Miskavin is the case of Chozi Andarte Vesogid Law, and the result of having to bring a sacrifice works according to Abaye, who says that bowing Me'avo Mira generates the need for a korban chatos. Elol Rava the Amar Potter Amari Golamema. But according to Rava, who says someone who bows Me'avo Mira is exempt, so what is there yet to say about our source? What is the case of Shogag below Miskaven? Elol. Now we go back to our double underline stage analysis of what is meant by Shogag below Miskaven. The Omer Mutter. What is Omer Mutter? Literally, it's someone who says it's okay. Rashi cites as an example someone who came to Judaism. He converted, but remained amongst Gentiles. So he doesn't have any Torah background. He accepts upon himself Judaism, not realizing that Judaism prohibits Avodah Zarah. That's called Omer Mutter. He thinks, he honestly thinks it's okay. And, well, it's not okay, and therefore he's called Shogag below Miskaven. Now that we've established what Shogag below Miskaven is, and this is part of a source that says, Choyme b'shar mitzvah, shebishar mitzvah, shogos chavez chayev, so that's fine as far as idolatry is concerned. He's a guy who is Omer Mutter with regard to idolatry. Ma she'ein kein b'Shabbos. That's a quote from the source. The Potter Lagamri. Are you going to say that someone like that is totally exempt? That's what the source seemed to say. It says, Ma she'ein b'Shabbos, that he would be exempt. So, what are we saying then? If we're saying by Avodah Zarah, the case of the Yishayim is Omer Mutter, so then he's an Omer Mutter by Shabbos too, and then we're going to say he's totally exempt. What is it? What's an Omer Mutter? So he thinks that Shabbos is, that there's no, that Shabbos is not a day where there's restriction, and he's not aware of the malachos. He's called Shogag Bozeh Bozeh. He's not aware of it being Shabbos, and he's not aware of malachos. Now, what about someone like that? Is he totally exempt? In other words, when he discovers that Shabbos is a day of restriction, of Ovis Malachas, of prohibitions, is he totally exempt? Ad kan lo bo mine rovo me Rav Nachman. Up till now, this is something that we've learned before on the Af Ayin Omid Beis, where Rava asked Rav Nachman a question of Helem Zev Zev Biyoto, where he's not aware of it being Shabbos, and he's not aware of Ovis Malachas. And he asked there, Elo Ilichu V'chad Ilichu V'tarti, is he chayav one sin offering, because of the fact he wasn't aware of it being Shabbos, or is he chayav multiple sin offerings because of the multiple Ovis Malachas that he violated? But what is the question there? The question is, how many sacrifices is he chayav? Avo miftari lagamri lo, but no one suggests that someone that's helem zev zev yodo, that is not aware of Shabbos nor of Ovis Malachas, should be totally exempt. And yet we have a source that says Mashen came by Shabbos, that he is totally exempt. We continue at the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. El Olav. Once again, you notice our double underline. So we're still trying to analyze the case. We're at an additional stage of analysis of the source. So El Olav. Rather, what we're going to have to say is Reisha be'akum, the Reisha of the source, where we said Chomer b'Shabbos m'shar mitzvahs, that is like we explained already. That's talking about idolatry. In other words, everything we've said till we got to the second diamond on the previous Omid, on Ayin Beis Omid Beis, everything we said till that point, we are keeping, we're maintaining that. That's the Reisha. The Seifa b'shar mitzvos. The Seifa, though, where we started the second diamond of back there on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, this is talking about other mitzvos. B'shogag below miskaving b'shar mitzvos hechidomi. What is then the case of shogag below miskaving by other mitzvos? And we have to explain that Shogag b'lo miskaven by other mitzvahs, we say, is chayav. And what are the other mitzvahs now? We're not talking anymore about idolatry. So what is it? The savur de shumon hu v'ochlo. He thinks that something, the food substance that's there, is shuman. Shuman is an allowed food substance. It's fats from an animal, kosher fats, we'll call it. And he went and ate it. Then, and we're saying that there's that represents, he ate it, and of course it turned out to be forbidden. Now the contrast case by Shabbos, Masha'en came by Shabbos, the potter, what would the parallel case by Shabbos be? Diniskaven lachtoich es hatolush v'chotach es hamechubar, potter. And it's at this point that we finally came to the reason we brought this whole discussion in, to show where does Rava get the basis for what he said, that niskaven lachtoch es hamechubar, and he ended up cutting. So again, he had kavona to cut that which was tolush, and he ended up cutting that which was mechubar, that which was attached. He's exempt. Let's go over this last parallel again, parallel plus contrast. By other mitzvahs, what took place? He thought something was shuman and ate it, so he did an act of eating. Let's focus on the action in the general sense, action versus the finer resolution, as we analyzed before. The general action was an action of eating, and we're saying if he had an intention of doing an act of eating, just turned out, and he wanted to eat something that was allowed, it just turned out that what he ate was forbidden. So that we say is chayov. As opposed to Shabbos, what's the parallel by Shabbos? He had, again, an intention of the act of cutting, he wanted to do an act of allowed cutting. That's lachdos atolosh. And he ended up doing an act of forbidden cutting. That's who was chotach mechubar. So, being that this is the analysis of the Tanaic source, this is Rava's Tanaic basis for his opinion of niskavi lachdos atolosh v'chotach mechubar. The source said, well, don't forget, the source said in the Seifa Masha'en came to Shabbos that he would be exempt. So here is the basis for Rava's approach. Now we turn back to Abaye. What would Abaye's response be to that? Because after all, Abaye said that niskaven lachtoi chesatot shel chotach mechubar is chayav. Because Abaye went into the when he said that you focus on the general act. The act of cutting is what he intended, and that was the outcome. Rava was into the finer resolution, and it wasn't sufficient that the act that was intended was the outcome, but it was more important of the detail of the act. Was it a heter intention? If it was a heter intention with a forbidden outcome, as far as Rav is concerned, that's exempt. But according to Abaye, that still will be chayav because the intent and the action matched in the general sense. So Abaye, now how does he look at this whole source? Abaye shogag v'lo miskaven hechidomi. What is Abaye's case of shogag v'lo miskaven by other mitzvos? What is that going to be? Hechidomi. The savur roiku uboloi. Rok is saliva. So imagine someone had some substance on his hand and he thought it was saliva, so he took his tongue and he wiped it off and he swallowed it. Saliva is something that one swallows. One doesn't eat saliva. It's a different action. It's called blia. That's why we've dot underlined bolo, as opposed to on the third line from the top where we dot underline ochlo. We want to focus on the action. According to Abaye, you're not going to have a case of misaseik unless the intended action and the result don't match, then it could be called misasek. And what is the case of misasek as far as Abaye is concerned? Where you had an intention of doing an act of swallowing, and it turned out that it was chelev, that it was a forbidden food substance, which is something that you do the act of eating. So he thought it was roke, which is an action. It's one action of blia, and it turned out to be chelev, the consumption of which is called achila. So the mashe'en came b'shabbos, and by the way, that case of shogag lo miskaven, and it turns out that you ended up consuming chelev, you're chayav to bring a sin offering. Mashe'en came b'shabbos. Remember, we have to contrast that with a parallel case by Shabbos. What would the parallel case be? The potter. Where is their exemption? In other words, in Shabbos, this case of shogag lo miskaven will be exempt. The niskaven lahagbia esatolush, where he intended to pick up something that was detached. The chotach esamechubar. So, something that's tolush, that's called lahagbia. That's an action of raising. The outcome there, as we saw in the case of the knife that had fallen, he wanted to pick up the knife, and what he ended up doing, the chotach es hamechubar, that's a different action, ended up cutting something that was attached, that is potter. That's Abaye's opinion. Avol niskaven lachtoich es hatolosh v'chotach es hamechubar. However, where your intention by way of the action matches the outcome, that would be chayav, because Abaye doesn't get into the finer resolution. He looks at the general action that was done. The action of, if the action was an action of cutting, that's what you intended, and the outcome was an action of cutting, it just so happens he ended up cutting something forbidden, chayav. That is not called misasek anymore. It's rather in the realm of shogeg, and he will be chayav to bring a sin offering. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.